Mark Rosenberg is here. Mark Rosenberg is the Vice President of Diaspora Partnership for Nefesh B'Nefesh. He's also been thrust into multiple roles of dealing with things that have come up in the last couple of weeks, to say the least. Mark, it is a pleasure to welcome you back to JM and the AM.
Morning, Nachum. Nice to see you. It's a comfort to see you.
I appreciate that. I hope you. I know you mean that. I hope others, you know, feel the same way, because I want people to feel, hey, there are people on the other side of the world who actually care about us and, you know, are concerned about us and want to see things, you know, brighten up going forward.
We definitely feel that. There's a sense of unity that it just transcends the social media. It transcends the WhatsApps and the phone calls. We definitely feel that. But the gift of the presence is a added level of comfort.
Well, I appreciate that. So we wouldn't have been having this conversation a few weeks ago. As I said, you've been thrust into sort of a new role. You've done a little pivoting, a little adjusting, as you've been asked to deal with certain situations that have come up as a result of this war. What would be some good examples of that?
So I'm sure a lot of your listeners from around the world, from Memphis to Maryland and all around, are familiar with the concept that Israelis have an obligation to serve in the army.
Right.
And when they're done their two and a half years of service, they have miluim, a reserve duty. And normally it happens in our office here. In our kitchen, we have a board that wishes people anniversaries and work anniversaries and updates of babies being born. And we have people have reserve duty. They'll be out for a week or two for their reserve duty. So we have almost 14 people from our office who have
just
from our office here who have been called up. And that has caused a challenge to make sure that the organization can function and make sure that we are delivering the services we need to support over 80,000 Olim, thousands and thousands of lone soldiers. So part of what I'm a part of a team that's making sure that the operations of this organization move forward and adapt to and are pivoting to the needs that this specific crisis, this specific war is dealing with. And I share this word of miluim, of reserve duty, because what it essentially means is that when someone leaves to go to their unit, for whether it's a regular week or this case that it's been almost 3 weeks that my brothers-in-law and my neighbors and my friends have gone to, someone else has to pick it up. There's a vacuum. And that vacuum calls upon people to say, I will do that. Now, that means parents are helping pick up kids from Ghana.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it means that coworkers are taking over calls for other people. It means that the person who's doing guard duty on your synagogue on a normal Shabbat, okay, is called up. Other people will do it. And I think that first I'll talk about the
teachers in schools.
Teachers in schools and the people coming out of retirement to help strangers volunteering. And that this type of opportunity, this vacuum has allowed, I think, an amazing point for Olim who are sometimes on the outside of society because they're immigrants. And think about my grandparents in America, you know, their language was a little bit rough, a little bit. They said things a little funnily. They just weren't fully American. And the truth is Americans that come here and Canadians that come here, they might sound a little funny with their American accent and some of their customs. They're part of society, but sometimes they're on the outer circle of it. What this has done for a lot of people, because I don't serve in miluim. I came here when I was 25 and the IDF did not want me. I usually say because I was too tall, but that's the truth is my Hebrew probably wasn't good enough, and I was too old. But my service, my luim, my reserve duty allows, like many other people here, to help fill the place with those people who are out on the front lines.
Boy, we talk about the whole country being in miluim. You're right.
There are 360,000 soldiers come up.
So everyone has to... No, but I'm saying that everyone else has to fill in for what they're doing.
Exactly.
And that's, of course, everyone being in miluim.
So on a first level, we see in the community a tremendous response from Olim who are stepping forward to say, okay, we want to make sure that these essential services are functioning. And Olim, who, you know, had an active place in their community when the Jewish community was very small, be it, you know, in New York or New Rochelle or Los Angeles, this is the fabric of the society, and they're stepping in to do that. So we've seen, here I'll share a few stories.
Sure.
There is a lovely gentleman who made Aliyah a few years ago to Efrat, and he runs an Amazon business. Okay, so he has the pleasure on a normal time of the year to learn in the morning and go on hikes, and then at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, he, you know, gets
start
online
his work
and start his work day. So he manages a warehouse through his phone. He manages a warehouse of his items in Efrat for his warehouse in New Jersey. Well, there's a logistical issue going on in Efrat with, you know, certain supplies coming in and out to make sure they're coming. So he is lending his skills and his technology.
Supply chain expertise.
On supply chains to help out his local community. He didn't serve in the army. He's a little bit older, and he's volunteering and, you know, allowing him to help the community. We see that happening. We see a tremendous amount of chesed of people who are saying that there's a mobilizing. I'm sure I've heard about the food
sure.
places we're hearing. There's too much food.
That seems to be chesed number one.
My neighbor's friend said her son has put on weight because there's so much food, and there's not, you know, they're exercising a little bit, so it's an issue. It's a Jewish worry about enough food. But we see
that's a peacetime and wartime issue.
Yes. But it's amazing to see that people are stepping up. So Nefesh B'Nefesh is creating a community grant that people who are doing activities in their community to be able to enable them to still stay together and develop the new support.
And make a little income.
It's actually to make sure that if there's a need for, whether it's Shabbat meals in a certain right. place, to make sure that, obviously, one of the big things we're focusing on is the mental health crisis that we are going through. We experience, as the Jewish world is experiencing, a trauma. And this was, when I think about the trauma we experienced with one soldier, Gilad Shalit, being abducted. This is Achad V'Kama Kama. So to be able to make sure that the mental health services are available and accessible in different languages and appropriate for different sectors of religious observance, we're working very hard with community organizers to make sure that's happening.
Mark Rosenberg's with us. Okay, two more things. Number one, the feeling that I'm getting, both from this building while I was in the United States and this building while I'm here today, is that the level of interest in Aliyah is as strong as ever. Now, we do know that there are people over the last 2 weeks who actually moved to Israel from North America. What do you see in the foreseeable future?
So we had 25 amazing people arrive just this past Thursday. It was really a tremendous, like, deep breath of hope that came in. And we're seeing hundreds of applications come in. You know, it's a normal, right after the Chagim is really when people focus in coming for the summer.
Right.
And one of the most frequent questions I get, and I may have said this on previous shows, that, you know, I've been with the organization now, with different presidents get elected, and people always say, oh, if this person gets elected, I'm moving to Canada. And there's no stream of Americans going back and forth through Canada this dear time. And we've navigated, it's been pretty steady. There is this tremendous, visceral feeling of connectivity that people are having, that things are just much clearer, especially in the only word I can say, of the balagan of the past year, of the political messiness and the social disagreements and the focusing on minutiae of detail of difference between labeling this and labeling that. There is a sense of clarity about the mission of the Jewish people and the centrality of the state of Israel in that mission. And for those people who that was part of their identity, some of the barriers are released.
Amazing.
And to see that people are saying that, you know, this is a part of it. It's too early to see. But it's part of our conversations, not the formal meeting strategic conversation, but when we're just, like, after the meeting, there was a bump after the Yom Kippur War of people who just said, I'm coming to fill that place.
Right.
I'm coming to build these places. I'm coming. And already in this conversation about what is going to be happening to these communities and how can I make sure that they are as strong, then the practicality of being here and being a part of that building, of this project, which is the greatest project of the Jewish people today, is a part and parcel of the idea of Aliyah.
Finally, the lone soldiers, and you, through your work, as you know, through the Aliyah, obviously get to know a lot of them, and then you interact with them in times like this and other times. Lone soldiers come from other countries and they have a certain vision of what they want to do in terms of helping defend and protect the land of Israel, the state of Israel. Does it ever cross your mind that they may not have signed up for this? Does it ever cross your mind that you feel bad because you knew and continue to know plenty of lone soldiers, especially from the U.S., who were very sincere and took their responsibilities on the battlefield, so to speak, very seriously, but this is a challenge they may not have been prepared for.
It's an excellent, excellent point to ponder. In my many years as an educator here abroad and here in Israel, I would encounter these 18, 19, 20-year-old kids who say, I want to do the army. And my first reaction was like, are you sure? And they were taken aback. Wait a minute. You're discouraging me from it. And I always push back that it's not like the movies. It's not. Right now, a former student of mine is, you know, with his tank up on the northern border. And I and if you ask him today, he's like, oh, my service was amazing. And I remind him that he loved the first 3 months of training. It was boring for the next year and a half, okay? And now he's like, it's fine. He forgets the hard parts of it. And he had a boring service. He's currently called up and on preparation for anything that's happening in the north. So what happens is that I'm sure that's part of the training is that people realize that, you know, you don't go on vacation when you want. This isn't like a semester that you drop out. I'm switching. I was thinking about going to Maryland and now I'm going to UPenn. It's not like that. But we have opened up, we have this hotline for lone soldier parents that were part of our support that we're giving them. And I'm part of the team that's answering it. It's an honor to be there for these parents who are calling up, asking some simple questions, some questions we don't have answers to. And all of the parents, I can say at least in the past 2.5 weeks that we've had it, are saying that I knew that this was part of it. Okay. It is absolutely hard. Yeah. Okay. It is hard. Okay. And there's this thing about the Israeli cell phones are being off.
Right.
Part of it's being off. Because
at least part of there, right?
If they see
a security measure.
If they see too much of a concentration of cellular use, you can see where people are. So there's a security issue. Right. And I spoke to a parent of a daughter who's on a Navy boat. So for the week, it's off because they're out to sea. Parents are calling and they're very, very far away. And their heart is in their throat.
Yep.
Their heart is in the throat when they're calling. But they understand that someone has to be there. Someone has to be Shomer Yisrael.
A lot.
And for us to be able to have support these over 4,000 lone soldiers from around the world when they call up and say, I'm gluten-free and there hasn't been a lot of food. So we find someone and we get that gluten-free food down there. It's amazing to have those small things to be able to give that person that comfort. And the message that people keep on getting is that we're there for you. We understand why you're there. And my heart is in my throat. And my son is not drafted yet. And to have that sense of unity, of purpose, and draw that strength. And the last thing I'll say is, and I'm sharing this with the parents, I'm sharing this with you as well, is that we have to hold this feeling of trauma and this fear that we have at the same time that we hold this feeling of unity and strength. This resolve that we have, the clarity of goodness that the world needs, it's hard to hold. Same, we can yo-yo between high and low, depressed and expect, especially if you check the news too much. But our challenge is to really to behold those two things at the same time. And I think that's the strength of our people. One last thing I'll add on to. You mentioned this visit to Har Herzl.
Right.
So I unfortunately have been there a few times in the past few weeks. And to see, as you're at a funeral, for the recent funeral of another person, is really very, very difficult to stand there as they're giving a eulogy for one person and you're staring at the name of another person. It's on, Har Herzl's on a mountain that's really called Har Zikaron, the Mountain of Remembrance. It makes it made up of Yad Vashem and Har Herzl together. So if we can maintain our Zikaron and our purpose, then I'm confident about our future. And that's why we are really focused on these operations, these tasks that we can do to support lone soldiers, to support communities, support people that are in economic financial need. We're opening up these funds to make sure that we can get the services that the people so we can get through this and we'll be stronger afterwards.
Mark Rosenberg, continue all your amazing work on behalf of the Jewish people. Always great to reunite in Jerusalem.
I mean, we should hear only good news.